Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 16th day of April, 2021. I'm thrilled to have on the program today for the very first time to discuss a subject that we have not focused on for an entire program before today. We have Tomateo Ogatas, a church planter and pastor of Grace Life Church in Quezon City, Philippines, and director of Southeast Asia for Anchored in Truth Ministries. And we're going to be addressing the topic, the unique challenges of planting churches in the Philippines. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Tomateo Ogatas.
Thank you very much, Chris, for having me in your program. It is an honor to share what the Lord is doing here in the Philippines as well as in Southeast Asia.
Praise God. And we had a little mishap yesterday. Pastor Tomateo called in yesterday to do the program because in reality and in the Philippines, it is Saturday, April the 17th right now. So therefore, yesterday in the Philippines, it was Friday the 16th. So we got the days mixed up, but thank God we straightened that out and you were able to come on today. Why don't you tell our listeners something about Grace Life Church of Quezon City, Philippines?
Well, Grace Life Church is a growing church here in Quezon City, not only in terms of number, but more so in matters of spiritual things. And we thank God because God's grace has been so powerful in the lives of the church members. I remember there was a time in the history of our church where I think so many were members yet unsaved. And that's one thing I would like to testify about, that it's so hard to pastor a church with so many unsaved church members. And we thank God for His grace, how He changed the lives of our people. He converted so many, and it started, by the way, in the life of my son, my eldest son, who one day told me that he got saved. And that was the beginning. That was the time where I preached a series of messages on the gospel, on salvation, and I just praise the Lord that He saved so many church members, and the church is really very, the vitality of the church can really be observed, can be felt, the enthusiasm of the members when it comes to worship, study of the scriptures, prayers, missions is tremendous.
Praise God. And tell us about the theological makeup of Grace Life Church in Quezon City.
Well, Grace Life Church is a strong believer of the doctrines of grace. It's a biblically saturated church. We focus so much on the glory of God. Being a former strong Arminian, I myself, my transformation was a long journey. Before I came to embrace the doctrines of grace, I was a debater against Calvinist preachers.
Wow!
But the more I studied it, yes, sir. But the more I studied the scriptures, little by little, my theological perspective eroded. And I thank God for those people whom He used in my theological conversion. And you know, here in the Philippines, Calvinist churches are very rare, and it's so frightening. It's just like you feel so alone. You are ostracized. I was disfellowshipped because of this change in my theological perspective.
Wow! And who were you disfellowshipped? Out of curiosity, who was it that disfellowshipped you?
I am part of the Bible Baptist Fellowship here in the Philippines.
Like an independent fundamentalist Baptist group.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This KJV onlyist group, and they're very strong Arminians. And so
most of them, there are actually a handful comparatively that are thoroughgoing Calvinists, but they are rare.
Yes, sir. Very rare. And if ever you will find preachers in this denomination who would say that they are electionists or Calvinists, it's a very shallow brand of Calvinism. That is the problem here. So for a preacher from Bible Baptist Fellowship to jump into the other theological fence, he will have to think about his friends, or even his family, because most of these churches and preachers are Arminian.
Well, I happen to be someone who loves theological debate, and I have arranged many debates. I'm not the debater, but I have arranged debates over the past 30 years or so. Most of them featuring my dear friend, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, who is a Reformed Baptist apologist, and he's also a Greek and Hebrew scholar and quite a brilliant brother, a prolific writer. Also, I have featured Dr. Tony Costa, who is the professor of Islam and apologetics at Toronto Baptist Seminary. But in all my years of arranging debates, I've never heard of the debater on the opposite side eventually converting to the position that I hold to. And I have met a few people who were in the audiences at these debates who did, but never the debater. And you've given me a new optimistic outlook that this could actually come to take place by the grace and mercy and sovereignty of God. Of course, I always should have had that optimistic outlook, but you have even made it more firm, because you are a living example of someone who had the humility and also had the blessing of God upon your heart and mind to see these truths and to embrace them.
Yes, sir. God's grace is truly irresistible in a sense that He illuminated my mind. The more I read the Bible, during those times where I stood against Calvinist preachers, in my private studies, the Holy Spirit just illuminated my mind, and I just accepted what the Bible says. And though the result of this theological conversion was my being this fellowship from my former denomination.
Well, how did Anchored in Truth Ministries and Grace Life Church of Muscle Shoals, Alabama, discover you and your ministry?
Well, I think that was around 2010 or 2011. I was planning to attend the Shepherd's Conference of John MacArthur. And, well, looking at the website, I found out that the conference fee is quite exorbitant for me. And so I looked for another conference where a conference that espouses the doctrines of grace, and I saw a conference called the True Church Conference, and that really made me curious. The True Church Conference. So
yeah, that's the True Church Conference.
Yes, the True Church Conference is hosted by Grace Life Church of Muscle Shoals. And so I made inquiries. I made inquiries, and to make the long story short, the conference was free, and that would help me a lot because of my limited funds. And so I made inquiries, and they were so welcoming. They helped me a lot, so I was able to attend. That was the beginning of my involvement with Grace Life Church of Muscle Shoals and Anchored in Truth Ministries. In fact, I really felt personal love, because when I was in Atlanta, Georgia, my flight going to Muscle Shoals, Alabama was canceled, and I was really rattled. I was so frightened, because that was the first time I experienced that, but they were able to track me down and assured me that someone will pick me up at the airport. So that was the beginning of a very loving relationship with Anchored in Truth and Grace Life Church. Pastor Steve was so accommodating, and he took me into his house, and we had fellowship. And maybe a year or two, they had a mission trip to Hong Kong, and he called me, and he asked me if he can take a side trip to the Philippines, to Manila, and to visit me. So I told Pastor Steve, by all means, Pastor, please come, and I am going to organize a small pastor's meeting so you can speak to these pastors. So that was the beginning, and it was the time where the church was really a very poor, but I know the Lord is beginning to work in the church. There had been spiritual vitality already in the church. There have been a lot of conversions in the church. So I think the partnership between Anchored in Truth and our local church here in Quezon City really happened in God's appointed time.
Amen. And by the way, I want to thank Luke Baker, who has my key contact person at Anchored in Truth. I want to thank Luke and Anchored in Truth for becoming a new sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And I'm sure that if you've been listening lately, you've been hearing their ads on our program. And we so thank them for thinking so highly of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio that they deemed us worthy of receiving some of their valuable funds so that we can remain on the air. And I want to make sure if any of our Alabaman listeners live anywhere near Muscle Shoals, or if they're visiting that area, it happens to be considered the capital of blues music in the United States. A lot of very famous blues musicians either came from Muscle Shoals or forged their careers there. But the website is gracelifeshoals.org. That's Grace Life Shoals, SHOALS.org. And tell us specifically something about Anchored in Truth. And by the way, their website, for those of us, those of my listeners who are interested in exploring that ministry as well, which is a ministry of Grace Life Church in Muscle Shoals, Anchored in Truth's website is anchoredintruth.org. If you could, tell us something about that ministry that has been of such great value to you.
Well, one of the things that really caught my attention in the early stages of my relationship with Anchored in Truth is the emphasis that we are not building, we are striving to build not great churches, but biblical churches.
Amen.
I think this is one of the problems in the Christendom, in the brand of Christianity we have right now. I think much of the problem is the fact that so many churches have deviated and departed from the biblical model of what a church is.
I cannot agree with you more.
Yes, sir. Anchored in Truth is strong in missions, but at the same time, they don't just plant churches. Part of the thrust is to build churches that are biblical in doctrines and practices. And so that is one thing that really glued me to Anchored in Truth. You know, here in the Philippines, it was a surprise to me when I first visited Grace Life Church of Muscle Shoals. When I saw their youth building, the happy faces of the members, the expository preaching by Pastor Jeff Noblet, and when I heard about how they apply biblical church discipline, that was amazing. And that's the kind of church I was looking for. A church that loves the Lord, a church that believes in God's holiness through the exercise of church discipline. And I remember when Pastor Jeff Noblet, Pastor Steve McAllister talked to me about being part of Anchored in Truth. Pastor Jeff was so emphatic in saying, Brother Tim, we will not put any other burden upon you except what the Bible requires from us. And that was a thing that brought me, my heart closer to Anchored in Truth for this strong stand on biblical doctrines, standards, and practices.
By the way, I should point out that our guest today, Tomateo Ogatas, deserves an extra round of applause, if you will, whether literally or figuratively, because it is just slightly past 4 in the morning in the Philippines when he is making his... when he made his phone call into the studio here just before 4 o'clock in the morning. So I want to thank you for thinking so highly of this show that you made the effort to wake up extra early. And
yes,
something that we do on this program that is a tradition is whenever we have a first-time guest, we have that guest give a testimony, a summary of their salvation testimony. That would include what kind of religious atmosphere you were raised in, if any, and what kind of providential circumstances our Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you. So why don't we hear some of your story?
Well, I was reared up in a Christian environment, my father being a Pentecostal Christian. But during my childhood, he turned his back from his ministry, from his church. And a lot happened in our family because of that. And I first met a group of missionaries in an island called Palawan. It's one of the most beautiful islands in the Philippines. But one sailor told me it's one of the loneliest places he went to. Anyway, these are Pentecostal missionaries, came to our place. I was about 7, 8 years old then, and they presented to me a gospel. They shared to me about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was my first encounter with the so-called gospel. And time passed by. There was still longing in my heart for the truth. And providentially, the Lord brought me to a church which teaches about eternal security, because we know that Pentecostalism does not spouse, they spouse that salvation can be lost. So this was the time that I was brought into Bible Baptist Church in one of the cities here in Metro Manila, and it was the first time that I was confronted concerning eternal security. It has been a long journey, and there I made a profession. But still, there's no peace in my heart. There's no peace in my heart. There's a longing. There's a fear about hell. And through the constant study of the Word of God, the Lord led me into the truth that Christ's redemptive work on the cross of Calvary is the only ground for salvation.
Amen.
And I know that very day that I believe the gospel, that Christ alone, through by grace alone and through faith alone, I know that that day God saved me.
Hallelujah.
And I thank God for His grace, and I thank God because not only me, but the rest of my family got to know the Lord Jesus Christ through the gospel, that Christ alone, by grace alone, and through faith alone, a person can be saved.
Praise God. We are going to our first break right now, and if you have a question for Pastor Tomiteo Agatas, please send in your emails to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Pastor Tomiteo Agatas.
I'm Phil Johnson, host and executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. I hope you plan to join me and Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, for the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd. The theme this year is Christ is Supreme Over All. My friend Chris Arnzen and I will be joined by several of our other friends, including Vody Balcom, Justin Peters, Daryl Bernard Harrison, Virgil Walker, and James White. More than 20 other speakers will be joining us, and the lineup this year includes my pastor, John MacArthur. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G3 2021. This is Phil Johnson reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White of the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
This is Pastor Bill Sasser, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson. If you just tuned us in, our guest for the full 2 hours today is Tomateo Ogatis, who is a pastor in the Philippines, specifically the pastor of Grace Life Church in Quezon City in the Philippines. And he is also the director for Southeast Asia for Anchored in Truth Ministries, which is a ministry outreach of Grace Life Church in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. Today we are discussing the unique challenges of planting churches in the Philippines. If you have a question, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Always give us your first name, at least your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And we established how our Lord brought you to a saving knowledge of Him. Now, I'm really dying to find out a little bit more about how, when you were going around challenging and participating in debates with Calvinist Christians. I don't know if they were all pastors or theologians or what roles in the church they were involved in, but you were involved in debates. I'm assuming you mean these were formal, public, moderated debates?
Well, most of this debate, Pastor Brother Chris, is done in a person-to-person debate. Not necessarily we do it in public, but the Calvinist preachers in the Philippines are quite aggressive, and so they would come to our fellowship, and then I would be there to face them, but not necessarily a debate that is there is a moderator and an organized one.
So what was it? Was there a certain subject that the Lord used in one of these confrontations that finally began to, break that stronghold against Calvinism that you had? Or was it just a series of issues that were piling up that finally made you bow the knee to the fact that God is indeed sovereign over all things?
Well, I think what really broke the camel's back on my theological persuasion was Acts chapter 13, if you would allow me to read this verse.
13:48, right?
Yes. This was really a dynamite for me when the Lord opened my eyes on this verse. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Because, before my conversion, before my transformation, I have this in reverse. My stand before was, I believe, and therefore was ordained. But that is not what the Bible says. Now the reason that people believe because they were ordained. So that really changed my perspective. That was a big help on my understanding. And the issue is always about the human will. Man is able to believe. Man is able to understand. But more and more that I read, for example, Romans chapter 3, the more I go deeper into the study of Romans chapter 3 about human depravity, the more I was convinced that it takes God's sovereign grace for salvation to make a person believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, in fact, I have asked many individuals, many professing Christians who are not Reformed, I've asked them the very question, why is it that you came to have faith in Jesus Christ, and many of the folks that I'm sure you know, whether it's in your neighborhood or in your family or just people that you've become acquainted with, many of them are in a world's understanding of things. They are good and decent people. They are good parents. They may be even better parents than many Christians. They are faithful spouses. They are hard workers and really accomplished folks in whatever field or career they where they have been working. They are intelligent. They may even be humble. They may be even very self-aware and so on of their failures and so on. And yet, they did not come to Christ. Why is it that you did? And really, I don't believe, I've never heard an adequate answer, and I don't believe anybody who is Arminian or non-Reformed can answer that question without giving credit to themselves. I don't think that it's possible to answer that from an Arminian worldview and an Arminian theology and an Arminian anthropology. I don't think that it's possible to answer that question without giving, without saying, well, I was more aware of my sin, and I was more aware of my need of a Savior. Well, then you're saying it's something that was superior about you. Well, I was just more understanding of what the Scriptures teach. I was more well-read in the Bible. Well, you're saying something better about yourself. You could go on and on and on, and there's really, I don't think, any wiggle room out of the position that they have placed themselves in. Am I right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What's the problem with Arminianism? They always, you know, the human will is really superior. It all depends on yourself. But the Bible is so clear. For by grace are you saved. It's all by the grace of God. It's through Christ alone, by grace alone, and through faith alone, a person can be saved. It is difficult to go against what the Bible says when it comes to salvation.
And when you mentioned Acts 13:48, I immediately, well, actually, I guessed before you mentioned it. You mentioned Acts 13, but I knew you were going to head for 13:48 because it's one of the most classic texts that I've never heard any non-Calvinist come up with a good answer for that text because of the ordo salutis in there. It's just inescapable. But I even have a friend. I've known him for decades. He's a dear friend, originally from a Church of Christ background. I don't know if he would describe himself that way today, but he is not a Calvinist. And he actually wrote a book. His name is Dr. F. Lagarde Smith. He's written some really excellent books, but he wrote one book called Troubling Questions for Calvinists, and at least he had the humility to put in the subtitle, and all the rest of us. But he admitted in that book that he had no answer for Acts 13:48, and he said that every attempt he saw or heard from a non-Calvinist had to involve eisegesis and really twist the text to make it fit their beliefs. Mm-hmm. He had enough humility and honesty to admit that in his book. So let's go from there now to the climate. I don't mean the how warm the weather is or how humid or dry. But the theological climate of the Philippines, I understand that it is a predominantly Roman Catholic country, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, sir.
Tell us something.
The strong Catholic influence, the Catholic influence in the Philippines is really very strong. Having been a colony of Spain for almost 400 years, let me forget, Spain is called the champion of Catholicism because we've been under the Spanish powers for almost 400 years. Catholicism is deeply entrenched in Filipino psyche. 80% of the population are Catholics. Philippines is labeled as the only Christian nation in Asia. And just several, maybe a year, only for, a year passed, one of the Archbishop of Manila was appointed, I think, to the number three highest position in Vatican. His name is Luis Tagle, a Filipino cardinal. He was appointed the prefect of the Congregation for the Evangelization of Peoples. I'm citing these facts because I just want you to see how predominant the Roman Catholic Church is in the Philippines. Now, at present, watching the social media, I think the Catholic Church in the Philippines is becoming more aggressive in spreading this fallacious Catholic faith. And I'm really surprised how they can present as truth a very obvious doctrinal error. That's how aggressive they are. We who are planting churches are facing more aggressive Catholic people in the mission field. Another thing, after the Spanish American War, at the beginning of the 20th century, the American missionaries came in. And part of the program was to divide the Philippine archipelago, the northern part. The Methodists were placed on those areas. The central Philippines, the Baptist denominations, and then on the southern part of the Philippines were the Alliance Church. Prosper Gospel Church. So that's how the American people are military divided the Philippines. Now, here is another thing. This easy believism and this Pentecostalism was exported to the Philippines, and it's really big here in the Philippines now. This poses a great challenge to Bible preaching or gospel, true gospel preaching. But it is the stand of our church, Grace Life Church of Quezon City, and in partnership with Anchored in Truth, to carry on the preaching of the true gospel. Now, it's not easy, Brother Chris. But our God is gracious. For example, one of the churches we planted 2 years ago was a church in Cabanatuan City, a city of more than 1 million inhabitants. I thank the Lord because the Lord had sent or developed preachers who are faithful in the study of God's Word, who are faithful in exegeting the Word of God, expounding the Word of God. I remember when we are about to start the work there, the two preachers asked me, Pastor Tim, what are we going to do? And the only advice I gave them was this: preach the Word of God. Just preach the Word of God. Whenever you have a chance, you share the Word of God. You share the gospel. When you stand behind the pulpit, be sure that you are bringing the Word of God. And I would testify that this church in Cabanatuan City is one of the healthiest churches we have under AIT umbrella. And we thank God for His grace.
Praise God. Well, when it comes to actually church planting, how does it actually work out physically? And I'm sure it's not exactly a cookie cutter situation where everybody's situation is exactly the same. But I'm assuming that perhaps in an area where there is no local church that is teaching the doctrines of sovereign grace, that you might have a Bible study start in someone's home and invite neighbors and so on, and somehow advertise in some fashion or manner the fact that you are meeting there. Is that a typical way that you, when you begin a church plant, and then when enough people start gathering, you realize it's time to plant a church?
Yes. What we do is we still go house to house, and we share the gospel. And when the people would open their home, then we will start a Bible study, a regular Bible study, until they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, until they are converted. And so we plant Bible studies around the city, home Bible studies. And then we look for a venue, for example, in Cabanatuan City, in Calambas City. Now a new church plant is, we are starting a new work in Bacoor City, the next province after Metro Manila. What we are doing is, We have home Bible studies. We have personal evangelism. We go house to house. And then the people begin to clamor for a gathering. And so we look for a venue. When we are planting a church, we usually rent a house and renovate it to make it suitable for public worship.
We're going to have you pick up right where you left off there when we come back from our midway break. Please be patient with us, folks, because the midway break is a bit longer than the other breaks because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because the FCC requires of Grace Life Radio the localizing of their programs, including Iron Sharpens Iron, geographically to Lake City. So they air during this midway break their own public service announcements and other local things, while we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. Please use this time wisely. Write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to them and patronize them whenever possible. And if you can't patronize them, at the very least, please contact them and thank them for sponsoring this program, if indeed this program is important to you. If you really don't want us to disappear, at the very least, contact our advertisers and say thank you so much for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That should go a long way in keeping them happy when you can't purchase their products, use their services, visit their churches, support their parachurch organizations. So please, at least say thank you to our advertisers. And also use this time to write down questions for our guest, Tomateo Ogatis, about the unique challenges of planting churches in the Philippines. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. 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 Give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. We'll be right back with Tomateo Ogatis after these messages.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 Conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Thank you. I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at the Toronto Baptist Seminary, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jeff Downs of Knox Reformed Presbyterian Church in Mechanicsville, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mark Grimaldi of Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Scott Basolo of the Master's Church of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kevin Vigneault of the Bible Church of Port Washington, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church in St. Augustine, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Clint Leiter of Highway M Chapel, Sedalia, Missouri, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gaddy. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a longtime partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please never forget, folks, that solid-ground-books.com is invaluable. It is crucial to the existence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio because of the funding they provide, the indispensable funding they provide for this program through their advertising. So please visit solid-ground-books.com frequently and purchase generously, not only for yourself to replenish your own library and for your self-edification, and not only for your brothers and sisters in Christ when you are purchasing gifts, but also remember the lost in your life, because God has often uses, innumerable times, he has used in his sovereignty a good, solid, theologically sound, biblically based book to draw the lost unto himself and to save them. So remember, solid-ground-books.com, no matter who you are purchasing a gift for whatever occasion. And remember, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing from them, and you're not only going to be doing us a favor by keeping an advertiser happy, you are going to be doing yourself an enormous favor, and anybody for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com, because they publish nothing but the very finest in theologically reformed literature from the past and the present, from centuries ago, dating back to the Reformation, or even contemporary authors like Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries at solid-ground-books.com. Before we return to our guest, Tomateo Ogatis, who is a church planter and pastor of Grace Life Church of Quezon City in the Philippines and director of Southeast Asia for Anchored in Truth Ministries, before we return to our conversation on the unique challenges of planting churches in the Philippines, We just have a couple of very important announcements to make. You've been hearing the ads for the G3 conference, where I will be manning an exhibitor's booth, God willing, September 30th through October 2nd in Atlanta, Georgia. Well, you've also been hearing that Vody Balcom is on the roster. For those of you who are unaware, Vody had a serious health setback, which required quadruple bypass surgery. And thankfully, he has been released from the hospital, and he is recovering with his family here in the United States. Many of you may know that Vody left the comforts of the United States to labor alongside my dear friend Dr. Conrad Mbewe of Kabwata Baptist Church of Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, who is involved at the African Christian University, where Vody is now laboring as well. But he is here in the United States while he recovers, and he may not be, because of his health, at the G3 conference. But pray that his health recovers so fully and quickly that he can keep that appointment to be on the roster at the G3 conference. And there's over 20 speakers that will be there, and I will be there manning my exhibitor's booth, so try to be there if possible. I would love to meet you during a break at the conference while I'm manning my exhibitor's booth. For more information, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. Also, folks, if you really love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please, I'm urging you, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. We are in urgent need of your financial help. The coronavirus pandemic hysteria has hurt a lot of people in our audience financially, and therefore the giving has gone down, and we are really hurting financially. But we do thank all of you who have been giving. I can't thank you enough from the bottom of my heart, who have still, in the midst of trying days, have been giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And not only those of you who have been giving since 2005, when we first launched the program, but even those who have been giving recently for the very first time. I was so delighted just yesterday to receive quite a substantial donation from a first-time donor who said she used her check that she received from the government, her stimulus check. She used the largest portion to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. She divvied the amount up between some other ministries, but she gave us the larger share. So I was very humbled and honored to hear that news. But we thank all of you who are giving. For those of you who listen to this show regularly, you love it. You share the downloadable MP3s, the free MP3s, with family, friends, and loved ones, and you've never given before, please search your heart and search your bank account and give if you want us to stick around. Obviously, I never want anybody siphoning money away from their regular giving to their own local church where they are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that. And never, if you are really struggling to survive, please don't put your family in financial peril or jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God to provide for your church and your family. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God, but if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, providing for church and family, you have extra money collecting interest in the bank, you have extra money for recreational purposes and trivial purposes, well, please use a portion of that money that you have to bless us and help us to remain on the air if you love the show. And if you don't love it, not sure why you're listening. But please help us out. We are in urgent need of your help, perhaps more than ever before. Also, if you want to advertise with us, send me an email to Chris Arnson and put advertising in the subject line. As long as whatever it is you are promoting is compatible with what we believe, we would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we are in urgent need of those advertising dollars as well. If you prefer mailing in a check rather than giving on the website, a physical address will appear on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can make checks payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and mail them to that physical address.
But please visit IronSharpensIronRadio.com frequently and click support at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. We really do need your help. And by the way, folks, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, I have lists, extensive lists of biblically faithful churches all over the globe. And now I have a new one to add to the list in the Philippines, Grace Life Church in Quezon City. And so no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I may be able to help you find a church. I've helped people, many people in our audience, spanning the globe, that found churches through contacting me that were right around the corner sometimes from where they lived. They didn't even know these churches existed, or they knew the churches were there but didn't know that they were biblically faithful. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com if that describes you. You need a church, a biblically faithful one. chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question for our guest today, Tomateo Ogatis. And as I said before, he is the pastor of Grace Life Church in Quezon City, Philippines. And he's also the director of Southeast Asia for Anchored in Truth Ministries, our new sponsor. And we're discussing the unique challenges of planting churches in the Philippines. Our email address again is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Tomateo, since our theme today are the unique challenges of planting churches in the Philippines, can you tell us what are the unique challenges of planting churches in the Philippines, things that involve hurdles that you have to overcome? I mean, obviously, everywhere individuals plant churches, maybe it's far less, infinitely less difficult in the Bible Belt or something, but it's still difficult. Even here in the United States, it can be difficult getting a church established from the ground floor up. Tell us what the unique challenges that you face are.
No. Let me answer your question by going back to the previous question about the theological climate in the Philippines. I think this is one of the obstacles in church planting. Well, we all have here the different cults, the post-Christian religion like Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism, and other such like post-Christian groups. But we also have a localized one called Iglesia Ni Cristo, which was founded by a Filipino preacher. In fact, Brother James White had a very good debate with one of their debaters, Joven Telacion. Now, this Iglesia Ni Cristo is very influential in the Philippines. Whenever there is an election, they vote as a bloc. And therefore, one of the conditions to the political parties, if ever they're going to support a specific politician, is if ever a presidential candidate will be elected, whom they are supporting, then one of the conditions is for one of their church members to be given a cabinet position. So that's how influential this Iglesia Ni Cristo. And maybe you have heard that the debate between James White and Joven Telacion, it's centered on this cult that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And salvation by church membership. Now, I had a chance to debate with one of their ministers, and they were so good in twisting. For example, Ephesians 5, verse 23. And he is the savior of the body. He asked, the minister asked me, what is the work of Jesus Christ? And I gave him several answers, and he quoted this verse, and he said, he is the savior. And he said, who is he going to save? He is the savior of what? Of who? And he said, the church. And he concluded that to be saved, you need to be a member of the church. But I rebutted by saying, let's go to Acts chapter 2. When the Bible says that 3,000 were added unto the church, were they saved already, or by joining the church they will be saved? Now you see, this Iglesia ni Cristo is so strong in spreading the false doctrine that you can be saved by joining the church. So that's one of the things that really they are very antagonistic. They will intimidate you. But anyhow, still the Philippines is a democratic country. We just preach. We just share the gospel. And just some time ago, I heard this preacher. This book came from the U.S., the New Emergent Church. I don't know if you know that, Brother Chris, the New Emergent Church.
Yes, I am familiar with it, and I know that they're not monolithic. Okay. They're not monolithic necessarily, but yeah, they are a danger, I know.
Yeah, they are destroying the scriptures. So this is now an additional group that distorts the gospel. That's the reason why Unpardoned Truth helps Great Life Church of Quezon City in having a Bible college. In our Bible college, Unpardoned Truth Bible College in Quezon City, we divided the curriculum into four major areas. The first is Biblical studies. Biblical studies is simply mastering the scripture. So you have the Old Testament surveys and the New Testament survey. Included in that are the life and the acts of the apostles and the life of Jesus Christ. And we also have the theological studies and the ministry competence training. And this includes biblical counseling, hermeneutics, and homiletical studies, and part also of the curriculum is the church leadership and management training. So we try to have a holistic and a comprehensive training. We customize it to the need of our country. So Unpardoned Truth Ministries is supporting this ministry and helping us, sending us books, and of course my relationship with Pastor Steve McAllister, the one who handles Unpardoned Truth Ministries International, from time to time I have conversation with him so he can help me, especially in difficult situations. Well, one more thing, the challenges that we have, you know, the Philippines, the high incidence of poverty in the Philippines is another thing that we need to hurdle.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that again? Because I did not quite understand what you said. I'm sorry.
The high incidence of poverty is also a hurdle that we must overcome.
Oh, the high instances of poverty.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The gap between the rich and the poor in the Philippines is so wide. Now, unlike in America, I think you have a very solid middle class society. But here in the Philippines, middle class is almost non-existent. So either you are very rich or you are poor, and that really poses a challenge when you start a new work in the Philippines, because the support for the church planter and his family, the rent of venues or houses and other needs. But I thank God, because Unpardoned Truth Ministries on monthly basis are helping us. We are supporting more than 20 pastors here in the Philippines, And wow. We have also in Indonesia, and we also have in Myanmar, and we also have in Singapore. So, Unpardoned Truth is really a big help in the gospel work here in the Philippines and Southeast Asia as a whole.
Wow. We have a listener named BB in Cumberland Valley, Pennsylvania. BB as in BB Warfield. BB says, here in the United States, Roman Catholicism is predominantly a very ecumenical movement, largely due to the liberalizing of their church that has occurred over the past century, especially since Vatican II. Their current catechism even teaches that Muslims and Jews worship the same God as we do as Christians, and therefore you don't have as much antagonism as much as you would receive from those who are the more strict Latin Rite type of non-ecumenical Catholics, who are a very tiny minority. Is the situation the same in the Philippines, or are the Catholics more militant?
Well, I think the ecumenical way of doing things in America is just a scheme or a strategy. But I do still believe that the chief aim is to dominate America, to Catholicize America. Well, in the Philippines, I would say the churches here are more militant. They are more aggressive. In fact, I'll give an example, Brother Chris, how the Catholic, the local Catholic priests fool their parishioners, how they keep their people within the Catholic Church. They would tell the people, if you will die, since all the cemeteries are owned by the Catholic Church, where will you be buried? This is a very simple issue, but ordinary folks are intimidated. It becomes a problem to them. So this is one of the ways of keeping the Filipinos within the control of the Catholic Church. They are very militant. They are very controlling. And I would say that they are intimidating because I think media and is strong already in the Philippines where everything can be reported. But I would agree with the observation here in the Philippines, maybe just like in South America and Central America, the Catholic Church is very much militant.
Now, would that go so far as, like, for instance, here in the United States, the only Roman Catholics that really would deny the salvation of Protestants, for instance, would be people in sects like the Feeneyites or the Lefeverites, which many view as not being in true communion with the Church of Rome. But the militancy in the Philippines, would the average Catholic, perhaps even priest, even deny the salvation of those outside of the Roman Catholic Church?
Yes, that is one of the basic tenets of Roman Catholicism. There is no salvation outside of the Catholic Church. But embedded in the minds of the Filipino Catholics. And that's the reason why when you come to their houses bringing with you the scriptures, you're trying to share the gospel with them, then definitely they are afraid to entertain or accommodate you simply because it is embedded in their minds that there's no salvation outside of the Catholic Church.
Now, does the militancy ever lead to violence against evangelicals and others?
Maybe it had gone down. It had gone down. I mean, when it comes to violent responses of Catholic churches, it had gone down. They are more sophisticated in the way they oppose the preaching of the gospel. And maybe it can be attributed to the change of media in the Philippines. They are more open. They expose any violence related to religion.
Now, many years ago on this program, well, perhaps not many, but quite a number anyway, I interviewed a brother who's actually a Seventh-day Baptist, not a Seventh-day Adventist, but a Seventh-day Baptist, and his name is Rod Henry, and he is also a Calvinist, in spite of being a Seventh-day Baptist, and from what I understand, originally, the vast majority of Seventh-day Baptists throughout history were Calvinists. But he was involved in missionary work in the Philippines, and he wrote a book a number of years ago called The Filipino Spirit World, which I found quite fascinating. And he was basically talking about the folk religion and folk Christianity of many in the Philippines that combined animism and some pagan practices and so on, and pagan beliefs with a veneer of Christianity. Are you familiar, and have you experienced that kind of opposition to the gospel from people who are in more of a cultic or tribal kind of religion?
Yes, actually, that's the brand of Catholicism you'll find in the Philippines. There is a mixture of Catholicism plus witchcraft plus animism. For example, here in the Philippines, you will find people who practice witchcraft, but they are devoutly Catholic. You'll find here people who are indulging in fortune-telling, but they are devoutly Catholic.
Same here. I know Catholics that visit, I'm trying to think of the name of these people, the folks that claim the necromancers, they claim to speak with the dead.
Yes.
I know devoted, very religious Roman Catholics that visit these people. In fact, a bishop on Long Island, I think he may have, a Monsignor on Long Island, passed away. He was quite a well-known Catholic Monsignor, had his own television and radio program, and wrote articles. In fact, he was one of the original co-hosts of a TV show called The God Squad, which involved him, a Catholic Monsignor, a liberal rabbi, and a liberal mainline Protestant minister. But he actually used to counsel people in grief to visit these people, these necromancers. Mm-hmm. So, I know what you're coming from. So that actually exists here in the United States, too. And I'm assuming ancestor worship is a part of that as well?
Ancestral worship is not so prevalent in the Philippines, but among Filipino Chinese, they still have it, ancestral worship.
By the way, as I look at a cover of this book, The Filipino Spirit World, it's kind of, actually it's just called Filipino Spirit World, A Challenge to the Church, by Rod Henry. I've always wondered, why is it, I don't know how it, if it's any different in the Philippines, why is it that we spell Filipino with an F and one P, and yet Philippines we spell with a PH and two Ps, and actually three Ps?
I don't know the answer for that. But
Do you do the same thing over there?
Yeah,
that is kind of strange.
Yes,
but we have another listener. This listener is choosing to remain anonymous, And the anonymous listener says, I have been praying about visiting the Philippines for a mission trip, and I was wondering how safe it is in the Philippines. Are there certain areas I should avoid? I know that if I'm intending on going on a mission trip, I should be willing to lay down my life, but I do have a family with children and I'm not quite ready to put myself in that kind of immediate danger. What can you tell us about the different areas of the Philippines that might be safer and might be more dangerous?
Well, I was born and I grew up in the southern Philippines. And there is a section in Mindanao, the largest southern island in the Philippines. There's a portion there that is inhabited by Muslims. And I would not advise anyone, especially the Americans, to go down there without proper preparation. But I would not even recommend for Americans to go there, because the Muslim extremist groups there, the Abu Sayyaf, for example, have been kidnapping not only Americans, but any people where they can get money from. But here in Luzon, where our church is located, this is a peaceful area. So, maybe if he will come, he may focus on Luzon Island, that's the largest northern, in the northern Philippines, and then the central Philippines is also safe.
We have Christopher in Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, who asks, is there a warm relationship between the Calvinist churches and the Arminian churches there, or is it very hostile all the time? I realize that there may be exceptions either way, but I was just curious what the predominant atmosphere is like involving interchurch relationships between evangelicals who all love the Scriptures and believe in the inerrancy of Scripture and reject works righteousness and idolatry, but at the same time differ on the views on the God's sovereignty and the doctrines of sovereign grace.
Now, I'm speaking for the churches in the Philippines between the Arminian and the Calvinist churches. I think there is a bad blood between the two. For example, the Arminian pastors will label the doctrines of grace as a demonic teaching. And in the same manner...
Can you repeat that word that you used? What kind of preaching?
They call it demonic preaching.
Oh, demonic.
Yeah.
They call Calvinism demonic preaching?
Yes.
Yes, I remember there was an anti-Calvinist fundamentalist Baptist church on Long Island. I had a friend who was a member there, and he showed me a tract that they had in the tract rack, Calvinism, the Doctrine of Demons.
Yes, sir. So, it is hard. I think it's a rarity to find Calvinist churches fellowshipping with Arminian churches. Even here in Quezon City, I'm marked man.
Wow.
Many churches would not like to fellowship with our church because they know I am adhering to the doctrines of grace.
Now, how about through your Bible college? Has that drawn any students from non-Reformed churches? Because I know that has been the experience with my dear friend Dr. Conrad Mbewe of Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, Africa. He is a Reformed Baptist, and yet they have been blessed to see people from other theological perspectives outside of Calvinism come to be educated by the Reformed Baptists very often. I was just curious if your college has opened the doors in that way.
Well, there are several pastors who are attending our classes whom I know to be Arminian in their position. And I think they're...
Right now, anyway.
Yeah. And by the way, Brother Chris, every year, Anchored in Truth hosts a pastor's conference here in the Philippines. We drew pastors from all over the Philippines. The last time we had a conference, we had more than 100 pastors attending, in spite of the fact that it was pandemic and the government was strict when it comes to mass gathering, yet so many pastors came and attended the conference. Now, many of those who attended this conference are actually Arminian. And I really opened the conference for them. The doctrines of grace are being included in the preaching, and I just hope and pray the Lord will use it to doctrinally, biblically educate the pastors about the doctrines of grace.
Amen. Amen. We have John in Bangor, Maine, who asks, how does your Bible college function? Must you be physically present to participate, or can you be a student via long-distance learning, Zoom meetings, etc.?
Well, during the time when the pandemic started, when the government started to lock down churches here, we have face-to-face those church members who live nearby, those students who resides near our college. They come for a face-to-face classes. But we also have Zoom meetings, especially those who are coming from the provinces. So they are able to attend our classes via Zoom meetings.
And you actually opened up a can of worms here to ask you about how your government and how the churches are responding to the coronavirus pandemic. We have many churches who they're actually probably still in a minority, but there are a considerable and growing number of churches that have been refusing to obey what they would believe to be not only fictitious or mandates that are based on fictitious information, the shutting down of churches, the mandates that insist upon all people wearing masks, ridiculously far spacing and seating. And some of the churches, depending upon where they are located geographically here in the United States and in Canada, some of them have been facing fairly serious consequences. There have been arrests. There have been police who have been charged with guarding the church buildings to make sure no one enters them. They've been fenced off, some of them. Those are the more extreme cases. What's going on there in Canada, and how are the Reformed churches responding to this? Because the Reformed churches here in the United States are not all like-minded over this. You have some like Dr. James R. White, who we've been mentioning, who has refused to shut down his church, Apologia Church in Phoenix, Arizona. And yet there are others who are very upset with people like Dr. White and me and others who don't, who refuse to shut down, who insist that we should shut down and that it, that is a true way of demonstrating love and all this. What's the situation like there?
Well, most of the churches, because of the government protocols, most churches are closed.
Wow, so they've been just they've been just obeying the government over this.
Yes, sir. But in our local church here in Quezon City, I kept the doors of our place of worship open. But first, I told the church members, since we are residing inside the church's compound, my family and all the church workers will have a worship service. We will worship the Lord. But I will keep the doors open. I did not encourage them to come, but neither will I discourage them to come to worship. Well, Brother Chris, when at the onset of this lockdown in the Philippines, I understood what the government is trying to achieve. They would like to stop the spread of the coronavirus. They are concerned with the physical welfare of the Filipinos. They see the health of the Filipinos. But as a pastor, I am concerned with the physical health of the Filipinos. But what the government cannot see is the spiritual condition of the believers. What will happen to them for a long drawn out stoppage of worship?
Right.
I was afraid of that. I was really afraid of that. And so when members would ask me, should we obey the government or not? Now, here's my position, Brother Chris. A government edict, a government policy, which does not contradict the word of God, I will fully submit. But when a government law or policy goes directly against the teachings of the word of God, I would follow what Peter and the rest of the apostles did when they said, we ought to obey God rather than men.
Amen.
But on the other, we are so strict in following, for example, the wearing of face mask, the wearing of face shield, the social distancing. For example, here in our church, our main chapel is adjacent to our fellowship hall and basketball gym, so we use those buildings. We just place a sound system in the fellowship hall and have a projector so they can see me preaching. And another additional way of complying with the government protocol. Every Sunday we have three services. We divided the members into three groups so we can have a compliant social distancing, especially in the sitting arrangements. We are doing well, and I think our stand that we continued worshiping the Lord, observing these basic protocols, but not stopping our worship, I think it is spreading. Some churches belonging to AIT is continuing their worship service. Though I'm not so loud about it, because as I've said to the members, according to your faith, if you can trust the Lord, if you believe, if you find the value of worshiping so important that we should not squat our worship, if that is your faith. So, the members responded, and we thank God for his protection.
And we have to go to our final break right now. If you have a question for our guest today, and if you just tuned us in, our guest is Tomateo Ogatas, a church planter and pastor of Grace Life Church of Quezon City, Philippines, and director of Southeast Asia for Anchored and Truth Ministries. If you have a question for him, send it in now because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Fellowship with one another as we're walking in the light.
Crazy for walking with
Hello, dear ones. My name is Justin Peters, and my friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are frequently blessed to share great times of fellowship with one another at conferences all over the United States. We'll both be enjoying more fellowship together at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October the 2nd, on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be speaking there along with over 20 other speakers, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Bodhi Balcom, Joel Beakey, and James White. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Please join Chris Arnzen and me September 30th through October the 2nd at G3 2021. This is Justin Peters reminding you that Christ is supreme over all. Fellowshipping with the
family. Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Potofuco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Butterfuco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody's ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Pastor Tomateo, if you could give us a summary of the things that you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today about your ministry there in the Philippines.
Oh. Please include us in your prayers, the gospel work here in the Philippines as well as in Southeast Asia, particularly what's happening in Myanmar right now. We have several pastors being supported in Myanmar. I think there is an information blackout because I could not read any news about Myanmar anymore, and I could not reach the people there. Please pray for the work in Myanmar. That's all, Brother Chris.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being such an excellent and fascinating guest here on the program. And I also want to make sure that you let our listeners know how they can contact the Grace Life Church of Quezon City, Philippines, and also your Bible college.
Well, I am closely connected with the Anchored in Truth Ministries. Any communication may go through Anchored in Truth Ministries or Grace Life Church of the Shoals.
And their website is anchoredintruth.org, anchoredintruth.org. And I have been so blessed today, and I've learned so much about your country and your work there. I'm looking forward to having you return to the program at some point in the near future. And any final words of prayer requests or certain needs that you may have?
Just prayers for the national pastors in the Philippines. You know, we have a continuing education program for the pastors here, even if they've been in the ministry for a long time. Please pray for these pastors, and also please pray for me that I will be able to serve them according to the dictates of the Scriptures. Thank you very much, Brother Chris.
Great. Amen. And by the way, you could also find out more about Grace Life Church of Muscle Shoals, Alabama, at gracelifeshoals.org, gracelifeshoals, S-H-O-A-L-S.org. I want to thank you so much, Pastor Tomateo, for being our guest today. I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write questions. I hope that you all have a very safe and joyful and healthy and Christ-honoring weekend and Lord's Day. And I hope you all remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.